Morning. Today's daf is Yud Gimel in Sota. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is Lonas Zechen Ishmas Libur Gavriela Bashmuel. We begin today on Yud Beis Amud Beis. We're starting about a dozen lines after lines get wide. The first words of the line is Shibarta, Ela Shirivavta. And we're starting today with the words Vatiftach. We are continuing today Ibidivre Agadata. This is like a running medrash on Parsha Shmos. We got to Shmos because we were discussing the topic of Mida Keneged Mida. And we talked about Mida Tova. We talked about Mida Peronios. And the Gemara now is just continuing along in Sefer Shmos. And step by step, almost pasuk by pasuk, we're jumping around a little bit. But we're darshaning the story of Shmos, of the Galus and the Geula. We're by the Moshe going down the Yamsuf. We already discussed that the Yamsuf may be either the actual Yamsuf itself, or it could be an Agam, could be just a swamp. But either way, we are now finding the discovery of Basparo, the Moshe's teva. Vatiftach v'tera as a yelad. She opens it up and she sees a child. Vatera mi ba'ele. Now the verbiage over here, the way the Torah describes the action. Vatarehu as a yelad. So it should be vatera because it's just talking about her. So Amrav Yosef Rabbi Chanina shirasa shechina imo. So it wasn't just Moshe together in the basket, but the shechina together was there as well. That's why it says vatarehu. She saw Moshe and the Shekhinah. So the Na'ar is crying. Kari le Yelad, Kari le Na'ar. So one pasuk describes Moshe as a Yelad, and the other one describes him as a Na'ar. Na'ar typically is somebody who's a little bit older, right? What we would call adolescence, but certainly not a baby that we're describing Moshe. So take a look at the Ramban and Chumash over there. Ramban also, Rashi and Chumash, and Ramban and Chumash also spent some time dealing with this. The Gemara dealt with it before the Mefarshim did. And the Gemara says, So one Tana's opinion is that the child is a Yelad. It's a baby inside, but the voice coming out is a Nar. So Rabbi Nechemiah objects. Rabbi Nechemiah says, really? Comes out that Moshe Rabbeinu then is going to be considered blemished, having a voice that doesn't match his body, having such a thick and old voice, and he's going to be a Ba'amum, and he's going to be a Ba'amum, and therefore what? Rashi writes, V'hu Levi v'nifza b'kola avodas hashir. Interesting, Rashi. Rashi says that as a Levi, he's going to sing shir for the avoda. The Machlokas in the Gemara and Sukkah in the fifth parak, whether the ikar shir is beklir, ikar shir is bepeh, meaning we know that accompanying the actual avoda itself, the karbanos, is going to be song. They sing in the base of Mikdash. So what is the major part? Is it the critical aspect of the song? Is it the voices or is it the instruments? They were both there. So it sounds like for the machlokas in the Gemara and Sukkah, it sounds like for at least the way Raf from Rashi over here, sounds like peh. Sounds like the voice is critical. So Alam Malamishasolo Imo Chupas Nurim Beteva. So the Rebbe Nechemiah gives a different shot, and that is that what Mom did is Mom made chupas neurim. Okay, it's custom is less nowadays, but in the good old days it used to be that they prepared a special chupa for the chasna, for the children, and the mother prepared chupas neurim for the baby. And she now letting her baby go off in a basket. So basically, this was going to be as far as she knew the last time she was going to see the baby. So it's sad, but she put together the chuppah for her baby, considering that this may be the last time she's going to see him. So when Basya, as I mentioned yesterday, proper pronunciation is Bisya, but when I'll mispronounce it like the rest of us do. So when Basya discovers the basket, the baby, so her conclusion is Mialdei Ha'ivrim. Oh, he's a Jew. So Minayada, the Gemara is an obvious question, which is going to have an obvious answer to it. And how did she know? How did she know the baby was a Jew? I'm Rav Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, Shiraso So Ma'ul. So she saw the Bris Mila. Okay, telltale sign that the baby was a Jew. And in fact, the answer is so obvious that you kind of wonder what the question was. But anyway, I'm Rav Yochum Alamish Nisnava Shlomi Data. So the.
Remember the Gazeta was on the Egyptian boys too, so that's why. She
maybe they also got a Mila?
No, I'm saying that's why she said that.
No, but right, but the Gemara's question.
No, she was till she saw the.
No, I know that. Oh, but. Could be. So Amr Rav Yochum, so she was she had a nevuah and wasn't totally cognizant of her nevuah, but she had a nevuah. The pasuk read Miyade ha'ivrim zeh, right? The in the Gemara now is focusing on the word zeh. So zeh nofel ve'in acher nofel. So this one's going to fall, and no one else is going to fall. Rashi explains what the Gemara what she meant by that is. Sorry, where am I in Rashi? The right of on top. Ein acher nofel li'or she'osa yom bitlu gzerasam. So Rashi says this is it. Meaning it was on that day that the Gzera stopped. So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to ask all the people who claim they know the future. Right? In English it translates as necromancers and whatever. People. Right? The crystal ball people. So they see things, but they don't know what they see. They know things, but they don't know what they know. So, and what exactly is this a reference to? So here's what the Atzdenignim knew. Meaning, basically what the Gemara is suggesting is that they had an idea, meaning they had some sort of knowledge, but they really didn't understand what they were looking at. They knew that the Moshiach Shei Yisrael is going to be smitten with water. So therefore they came up with a Gzera, and the Gzera was that everyone who was and anyone who was going to be born, because again they had this vision of the Moshiach Shel Yisrael, the Savior, so they're going to throw him into the water. Kevin Deshajula Moshe. Now Moshe was thrown into water, meaning it's true, literally it's true. He was in a teva, thrown into water. Amr Sulo Chazinan. So at that point in time, they from their perspective, from what they saw, okay, good. Right, the Gzera was Niskayim, meaning done. The Savior now is in water. So so at that point in time, they said, okay, Paro, call it off. We're good. The Savior was thrown into water. We are good. However, what they didn't know is that, yes, Moshe was going to be put into water, is going to be smitten with water, punished with water, but what they didn't know is that's much later on. That's Moshe at the end of his life, 120 years old, when the Mei Meriva. So, Huloka, Hanadama, Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, my Dichsiv, Hema, Mei Meriva, Asher Rabu. So, Hema, meaning, what's the extra additional word of Hema? Hema, Sharad, Signine, Paro, Vito'u. This is what the Atzdenignim Paro saw, but they didn't know what they were looking at. But now Moshe says, "But of course I have nevuah, and I know what's going on. This is it." Behind the Kama Moshe Sheish Meos Elav Ragli, and Gemara says that's pshat in the pasuk in Parshas Baloscha, right? 600,000. Right. What is in other words? Remember, this is by the when the Jewish people want to meet, and Moshe Rabbeinu said to Kadosh Baruch Hu, "That's a lot of people to feed. Like, you sure you can handle that?" Now, in general, that in of itself is difficult to understand how Moshe questioned the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the Gemara right now is focusing on the following: Amar lahem Moshe li Yisrael bishvilini salti kolchem. Moshe was basically pleading with the Jewish people, like, you know, you're here because of me. Meaning, as Rashi explains, what happened was is that all of you were going to die. In other words, all of you are going to be thrown into the water. Once I was thrown into the water, so Paro said, "Okay, let's stop the massacre," because again, the Atzdenignim told Paro, "It's over, it's done. You guys thrown into the Savior's thrown into the water. So all of you are around as a result of me." So it was basically begging and pleading with them. Could you stop? Didn't work out so well, but okay. Anyway, that is Adkan. That is the discussion of Paro being thrown into the water and a possible kiyum of the gzera. But of course, we know better. It's not just one toast was the only toast on the amud. Bishvilini tzalti etchem. Tosfos points out over here. Teima adaraba. Bishvilini nigzru hagzera sherau tzagnine Paro. So the argument that Moshe was making to the Jewish people was, you know, you're saved as a result of me. The counter argument Tosfos points out, which, you know, no one of us wants to make, but it's true, is that the only reason why everyone was going to be killed was because of Moshe. So it's, you know, This literally is a double-edged sword. Not literally, but it's a double-edged sword. The argument is, I saved you, but the argument is also, I kind of caused everyone's possible death. Yesh lamer hu ayarishon hamushlach layor. V'gzerishona im benhu v'hamisan oso lo bishvil haisa ela mishum v'necham banu v'derech hanashim leilachem. So Tosfos over here makes the following suggestion, and that is, there really were two decrees on the Jewish male in Egypt. Decree number one, right? And it kind of fits into what we saw in yesterday's daf, and it kind of fits in with the psukim as well. Decree number one, Paru was worried that the Jewish people were going to rebel, meaning they're going to some nation's going to come in, and the Jewish people are going to join the opposing nation, and they're going to rebel. So for that, basically, what Paru wanted to do was deal with the male Jewish population in the event they don't rebel. He's not going to throw them in the river, but he's going to kill them. So that's one decree of Paro having nothing to do with Moshe. And then there was a second decree of Paro, which is that the Atzagninim kept bumping Paro and saying, "Hey, you know what? We have a problem today, and that is the Savior is being born today, and we also see that he's going to be hit by water." He's going to be punished with water. So that was the second decree of, okay, now let's take all the males and throw them in the water. So what you gain from this Tosfos is now they lost that first argument. The first argument is we wouldn't have been killed had it not been for you. Now it's not true. In other words, there were actually two decrees. That's how Tosfos sets up the decrees of Paro. Let's go back to our Gemara. Rabbi Chanina bar Papa Amar Oso Yemesim Ve'echad B'Nisan Haya. That day, when Moshe was thrown into the Yam Suf, it was the 21st day of Nisan. We should be familiar with that date. That's the last day of Pesach. That is Kriyas Yam Suf. Right? This is the Gemara. There's one more in Megillah. But this is the Gemara that talks about how the seventh day of Pesach is Kriyas Yam Suf. The Torah itself doesn't date Kriyas Yam Suf. The Torah itself just simply says that Kriyas Yam Suf occurs sometime after Yetzias Mitzrayim. But here the Gemara states pretty clearly that Kriyas Yam Suf takes place on the 21st day of Nisan, what we call the seventh day of Pesach. Amar Malach Yeshua Suf Dei Kosh Baruch Hu Ribbono Shel Olam Misha Asid Lomar Shira Al Hayam B'Yom Zeh Yalakeh Yalakeh B'Yom Zeh. So the Malachim said it would be too ironic that the person who's going to lead the Jewish people through Kriyas Yam Suf, so he's going to die in a little basket on water. It's just too ironic. So that was the argument that Malachim made to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Rabbi Abba Barbi Chanina Amar Oso Yom Shisha B'Sivan Hayam. So that day, and by the way, in other words, the Malachim are forecasting for 80 years from now. Meaning we're talking about the birth of Moshe, so we know there are 210 years altogether in Mitzrayim. So we also know, we talked about this yesterday, how Yocheved was 130 when she gave birth to Moshe. So we have another 80 years, 80 more years to go. So basically they're forecasting 80 years into the future. Okay. Back to the Gemara, second opinion. Rabbi Achab, Rabbi Chanin Amar, so Yom Shisha B'Sivan Hayah. No, that day in which Moshe was thrown into the river was the sixth day of Sivan. Amar Malach Yeshos of Nekarash Baruch Hu Yibana Shalom Misha Asi Lekabal Torah Me'ar Sinai. B'Yom Zeh Yelakeh. On that day he's gonna get punished. In other words, not right that he should get punished on the same date as Kabbalah Satorah. B'Yom Zeh, I'm sorry, Yelakeh B'Yom Zeh. Okay, period. Okay, so two opinions in terms of what day Moshe was actually thrown into the Yam Suf. It was either the 21st day of Nisan or it was the sixth day of Sivan. Which date makes more sense? Right? Good. That's exact. Good. So the Gemara says the sixth of Sivan makes more sense. Why? Because again, going back to the Gemara Megillah, which the Gemara here quotes, we know that Moshe was born and died on the seventh day of Adar. Okay, good. That's Kabbalah. That's a tradition. V'shiva ba'Adar Nolan. Moshe. Umishiva ba'Adar v'ashisha b'Sivan t'las yarchei. And it is a perfect 3 months to go from the seventh day of Adar to the sixth day of Sivan. Right, what an excellent point, and how correct. Right, it's exactly 3 months. And we know that Moshe was hidden for 3 months. So Moshe was born on the seventh day of Adar, hid for 3 months, sixth day of Sivan now, put into the Yom Suf. Those dates work out perfectly. So the Gemara says, but if the date of Moshe being thrown into the Yamsuf was the 21st day of Nisan, we have a problem. He's born on the 7th day of Adar, 21st day of Nisan, it's not 2 months. Right? It's six weeks about, approximately, to get from the 7th day of Adar to the 21st day of Nisan. And we know he was in for 3 months. So how do those dates coordinate? So the Gemara suggests, so Shanamu Beres Haisa. Well, what we could suggest is that Moshe was born in an Iber year. It was two Adars that year. And Rubel Shal Rishon, Rubel Shal Achron, and Emsai Shalem. And you can kind of get to 3 months. Meaning, 7th day of Adar Aleph, to the end of Adar Aleph, that's a majority of a month. Then you have the totality of Adar Beis, that's month number two. Then you have a majority of Nisan, from the 1st to the 21st day of Nisan, so that is the majority of month number three. Okay, so, it's not perfect, it's not 3 full months, but at least you could squeeze 3 months out of that. So the Gemara says that's a suggestion. Okay, next. So along comes the sister of Moshe, Miriam. She goes to Bas Paro and she says, should I get a woman to nurse Moshe? Now why is she suggesting a woman from the Ivrios? Because what they did is they tried. They tried to have Moshe nurse from Egyptian midwives, wet nurses. Kulam velo yanak. And Moshe didn't nurse. Amar. Okay, we have on the gears on the side. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Pesha Asil Ladabri Meshchina Yenak Davar Tameh. So a mouth that's going to end up speaking directly with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So he's going to nurse from a woman who's eating non kosher. So behind the dichsiv is Mi Yoredeya. So Lemi Yoredeya, who's going to be given knowledge? Well, Lemi Yavin Shmuel Legmule Mechalav Latike Mishadayim. So someone who nurses from his mother, meaning from his biological mother, who has a diet of kosher food. So Vetamar Labas Paro, I saw, by the way, he has a very interesting discussion over here. What exactly is the issue? Is the issue of nursing from the Egyptian, the food that they consume, is that the issue? Or is it just something Be'etzem? In other words, there's a positive force in terms of nursing from a Jewish woman. He has an interesting discussion over here. Anyway, Vetamar Labas Paro Lechi. So she says, Bas Paro says to Miriam, okay, go get her. Amar Rabbi Elazar Malami Shalcha B'Zrizus Kalama. So she ran with Zrizus like a young lady. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmina Amar Halama Shalima Stevareha. Another reason of Halama is because she hid things, meaning she didn't reveal some basic information, meaning I'm his sister, I'm about to bring his mother. Like Miriam didn't give away that information. So Bas Paro said, "Heilichi esayelad." And the Gemara darshins, "Amar Rabbi Chama, Rabbi Chanina, Misnava, ve'yinodama Misnava." Once again, Navu comes out of the mouth of Bas Paro, and she doesn't even know what the Navu is. "Heilichi ha shalichi." When she was saying "Heilichi," it could be understood as "Ha shalach." This one's yours. Meaning she kind of intimated that this child actually belongs to you. Meaning you, Miriam, the sister, and as Yocheved comes over, you, Yocheved, the mother. Ve'ani etein eschareich, and I'm going to give you your reward. Meaning Bas Paro is going to pay Yocheved to nurse what turns out to be her own son. Well, it pays to be a tzaddik, literally in this case. It pays to be a tzaddik, where the Gemara's obviously making reference to Yocheved. Because not only do tzaddikim get which they lost back to them, but on top of that, they also get paid. Meaning, Yocheved lost her son. In this case, literally lost her son. The son was returned to her. And on top of that, she's not going to get paid for nursing her own son. That's the reward for tzaddikim. Vatikach Miriam Hanaviya Achos Aharon. Gemar jumps ahead to Shir Sayam, and the conclusion of Shir Sayam. So Miriam Hanaviya. So she takes percussions and she starts also singing to Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and she is the sister of Aharon. And the obvious question, and that is, she had a second brother as well, right? Moshe. So Achaz Aaron v'lo Achaz Moshe. So why does the Torah over there describe her as only being the sister of Aaron and not the sister of Moshe? Amar Rav Amar Amar Rav Amar La Amar Rav Nachman Amar Rav Malam Shaisam is Navekishi Achaz Aaron. She prophesied when she was the sister of Aaron, meaning before Moshe was born. So she had nevuah. V'omers, and this is what she said. Top of Yigimel Amud Aleph. Asida imi shiteileid ben. Shemoshe is his soul. Eventually I'm going to have my mother's going to have a son who's going to save the Jewish people. V'kem shalom Moshe nizmali kol abayis kula or. And then when Moshe was born, so the house lit up. Like we discussed yesterday, right? When by the pasuk of Ki Tov, right? What exactly is the Tov? So some suggest that was Paro's name. Sorry, everything now is a little bit of a cloud. Okay, right? Some suggest that was Moshe's name, Tov or Tovia, some suggested that Moshe was born Mahul, and some suggested that what the Gemara is quoting right now is that Moshe. The house was with light, right? Vayarsa or Ki Tov. So now so you would imagine now, and this is a reaction. Amar Avia Vinashka Al Rosha. So Moshe's father, Miriam's father, so kissed her on the head. Amar Labiti Niskaima Nivuasech. Great job. Great nevuah. They came in Shitila Leor, however. Just 3 months later, they had to take Moshe, and they had to throw him into the river. Amar Avia V'tapcha Rosha. Then the father comes and gives her daughter a little tap on the head and says, Amar Labiti Eich Nivuasech. Where's your nevuah now? And Miriam now is waiting by the side of the river to see. What she was looking for was the anticipation of her nevuah. But in other words, it was understood. This is basically what the Gemara is saying: is that it was understood as nevuah before Moshe was born. After Moshe was born, it still was nevuah. Nothing changed. But the perception of it is that it was no longer nevuah. And that's why by Shir Siam, she's described as Achos Aaron and not Achos Moshe. Even though the truth of the matter is nothing changed. She's still a Navi. She's still a Neviah. Okay. Yosef Zacha. Okay. We're going all the way back to the Mishnah. Remember back in the Mishnah, we talked about Mida Tova. So Mida Tova is the idea that what you do, you're going to be reimbursed for because of the principle of Midah Keneged Midah. And like we saw also in the earlier Dapim in this discussion, even more than what you did. Okay. Yosef was the one who was responsible for the burial of his father. Ultimately, Moshe then is going to be responsible for the burial of Yosef, and ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be responsible for the burial of Moshe. Okay, though that's the cause and effect. The Gemara says, "Ma'ishtam ikar dichsiv ayal Yosef likboros aviv ayelu esol kol avdei paro." So as long as we're talking about now Yosef and the burial of Yaakov, so here we go. More agadita, more medrash, where we're going to go now delve into the psukim. This is the end of Sefer Bereishis, the end of Parshas Vayechi. We're going to delve into the psukim that actually describe the burial of Yaakov, done by Yosef and the brothers. So first the Torah says, Vayal Yosef likboros aviv, Yosef goes up, Vayalu ito kol avde paro, and then goes the avde paro, Vahadvecho beis Yosef ve'achav ubeis aviv, and then the family follows. So in the procession going to Eretz Yisrael, so it's first avde paro, followed then by Yosef and his family and, you know, the Jews basically. Umayshna lebesof dichsev. Now, after having buried Yaakov, going back now down to Mitzrayim, here's the order. Vayashiv Yosef Mitzrayimah. Hu vechav. So they go back down to Mitzrayim. Yosef, together with the brothers. Vahadar v'chol ha'olim itolik boros aviv. And everyone else, meaning and the Egyptians. So on the way back, Yosef and the family are first, and the Egyptians are behind. So what happened? What changed? The Gemara goes on to explain. Because what the Egyptians did not realize is what they were dealing with. Meaning Yaakov was a king. Yaakov was a prince. And the Egyptians didn't understand that. And only when they went back and they saw the funeral of Yaakov did they then understand who they were dealing with. So the Egyptians didn't provide Yaakov and his family the proper cover because they didn't understand what Yaakov was. But then after the funeral, they saw the amount of cover that was given to Yaakov. So at that point in time, on the way back down to Egypt, so the Egyptians said, no, you, Yosef, and your family, you go down first. They stopped in a place called Goren Ha'atad. The word Goren literally translates as a granary, right? The Hebrew and English word are, you know, very similar in sound. And Ha'atad is kind of like thorns. right? Thorns of the granary. The words don't really match. Right, the granary doesn't normally have thorns. You know, when you have like a granary or any type of warehouse, so you put a security fence around the perimeter. So the Gemara says, in a similar vein, when they went to go bury Yaakov, so Yaakov was in the center, and what happened was, is that there was a perimeter made. And who was the perimeter made by? Who surrounded Yaakov? Gemara goes on to explain. Shabbal b'nei Esav b'nei Yishmael. Along comes the descendants of Esav, the descendants of Yishmael. U'b'nei Keturah, descendants of Hagar. Tana kulam l'mechama ba'u. They all came from Mechama. Came and shirau kisro shel Yosef talu b'arono shel Yaakov. But then they saw the crown of Yosef hanging on the coffin of Yaakov. Not l'kulam kisrehem. Every one of these princes, sons of Yishmael, and of Esav, and of Hagar, they all took off the crown, v'talum ba'arono shel Yaakov, and they hung it on the coffin of Yaakov. Tano, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, shloshim v'shisha k'tarim nitlu ba'arono shel Yaakov. 36 crowns in total were placed on the aron of Yaakov. Rashi over here goes to the basic numbers. Rashi says 12 princes of Yishmael. We saw that in last week's parsha. Yishmael ends up being the father of 12 princes, which, by the way, right, Yud Bei Shvatim of Yaakov, Yud Bei Shvatim of Yishmael, and 23 alufim, 23 generals of Esav. Okay, so 12 and 23. That gets us to 35. Yosef's Aron on top of that as well. That gets us to number 36. Rashi points out, by the way, when you go through the Pesukim, the remainder of Rashi, it's basically an accounting in terms of getting to the number 23 in terms of the Alufe Esav.
And
yeah. No, I'd say when you consider it's stunning. Not Lubarono shel Yaakov. Okay. Vayisbedu sham mispei gadol v'kaved ma'od. And it was a eulogy. Tana afilu susim v'afilu chamorim. Right. Even the horses and even the donkeys. Now, not 100% sure what that means. I mean, the Gemara is giving human emotions to them. Unclear. Or maybe the Gemara here is talking about the horse riders and the donkey riders. Right? Earlier we suggested a similar pshat. Anyway, Kevin Shigila Maras HaMachpelah. Here we go to one of the highlights of today's daf. Right? A story that we all know. We're told. We tell others. This is famous Medrash coming up. Kevin Shigila Maras HaMachpelah. They get to Maras HaMachpelah and also Esav Kama Akev. And Esav is there and he's stopping the whole procession. And Esav says, okay, no. Meaning, we're not bearing Yaakov and Maros HaMachpelah. Amalam Mamre Kiris Arba Yichevron. Okay, the reference to the place, we got introduced to the place in last week's parsha. Okay, so it's the Kiryas Arba. It's also referred to as Chevron. V'am Rav Yitzchak Kiryas Arba, and Rav Yitzchak says, and we often confuse the Rav Yitzchak mentioned in our Gemara over here, and Rashi who brings us down in Chumash, who's also a Rav Yitzchak, but one's the Tan and the other one's the Rishon. But anyway, Am Rav Yitzchak Kiryas Arba Arba Zugos Hayu. So the Kiryas Arba is because four pairs of people are buried there. Adam v'Chava Avram v'Sari Yitzchak v'Rivka Yaakov Aleah. Iu cover Leah Bididei. Now Yaakov himself buried Leah there. So in other words, there were two plots remaining. So Yaakov took one of the plots and buried his wife. Okay. V'hai depayish didihu. Now that means that there's one spot remaining. So Esav is making the argument, that spot belongs to me. Because consider, meaning Maras HaMachpelah is really property, it's real estate. It's a Yerusha. And who do we Yarshan from? Our father. Now there are two of us. Esav is saying he's not talking to Yaakov, but he's talking to the Yaakov's kids. But there were two of us. And so Yaakov gets a plot, and I get a plot. Yaakov used this plot for Leah. So now I get the other spot. Amrlei Zevinte. So they say to Esav, okay, but you know what you did? You sold it, remember? You sold your Bechorah? So Amrlehu Nihid Zvina Bechirta Pshita Mi Zevini. So Esav's response is, okay, I'm not going to deny that I sold it, but you know what I sold? I sold my extra. The Bechor gets Pishnayim. So I sold the second X, but the original X that I still retain for myself, I'm still entitled to half. Be, in other words, put the extra aside. I'm entitled to half. Amrlo in dechsev bekivrei asher karisi li. So they say to him, "You sold everything. You sold not only the bechor, you sold the pashut as well. You sold." Period. So the Amr of Yochanan, the Gemara quotes the pasuk Bekivre Asher Karisi Li. The word Asher Karisi Li, on the simplest level, is understood to mean I dug out the spot. But the Gemara's understanding now is that Yaakov was saying more than that. Yaakov was saying I purchased the spot. That the word kira is also a reference to mechira. First of all, you see in the word mechira you have kira, and she came b'kar chayim karla mechira kira. And the Gemara says, and you go to the islands and out in Cyprus and whatever other Mediterranean islands. So the word for sale is actually called kira. Amalu havali igarta. So Esav says, okay, you know what? Let's try a different strategy. Let's see the documentation. You say that there was a sale. Let's see the note. Amalei garta bar de Mitzrayim hi. So they said, oh, the paperwork. We left the paperwork back in Egypt. Sorry. So Uman Nezel Naftali. So someone's going to now run and get back the paperwork in order to prove to Esav that they in fact bought, purchased the land. So Dekalo ki ayalata. And we'll send Naftali because he's an isle. He's a deer. He's a gazelle. Dechsev Naftali ayala shlucha. That was the bracha that Yaakov gave to Naftali. Hanosin Imre Shefer. Amr Abi Abba al Tikre Imre Shefer Ela Imre Sefer. In fact, alluded to in the pasuk of the bracha that Yaakov gave to Naftali, it says Imre Shefer. Beautiful words. We could also read it as Imre Sefer, right? The one who's going to bring the documentation that in fact Yaakov bought the land. Chushim Berei Dedan Taman. Now the Gemara tells us that Chushim, the son of Dan, was there. If I'm not mistaken, I think Dan only had one son. I think Chushim is the only son of Dan. So the currently Udne, literally his ears were heavy, so he was hard of hearing. Amrlu my high. He wanted to know. He saw what was going on, but he did not hear what was going on. So he didn't understand the back and forth and the give and take that took place between Esav and his uncles. The Amrle kama akev high ad asin Naftali mar de Mitzrayim. So somebody was able to communicate to him that we're doing is we're waiting because Naftali is going to run down to Egypt to get the paperwork. So Chushim and Kishmo Kachu, meaning his name was Chushim, which means sensitivity. So he was very sensitive and he said, it's ridiculous, right? What's going to happen? My grandfather is just going to sit here waiting and sitting in Bizayon, and we have a Bizayon Ames, so and we're going to wait until Naftali comes back from me. That's ridiculous. So Shakukupa Machia Resha. So he took a stick and he hit Esav on the head with the stick. Natran Eine Venaflo Akard Yaakov. The eyes of Esav, the head came off, the eyes of Esav came out and fell to the feet of Yaakov. Paskina Yaakov Leine, Yaakov opened up his eyes. V'achich. And Yaakov smiled. Behind the dichsiv Yismach Sadiki Chazan Akam Pa'amav Yirchat B'dam Rasha. And the pasuk in Tehillim says that a tzaddik is happy when he sees that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does nekama, meaning, and this was the nekama that Yaakov saw, and it made him happy. Obviously, we are deep into the world of Medrash. Yaakov at this point in time has been dead for a considerable amount of time, but again, on levels of understanding, the Gemara over here is describing how it's tzaddikim when they see nekamas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so it makes them happy. And at that point in time, Rivka said something that years ago that ends up becoming prophetic. Why am I losing the two of you on the same day? Now they didn't die on the same day because as I just explained, Yaakov died much earlier. He was embalmed. You know, his travel up to Eretz Yisrael didn't take place until sometime after he died. So they didn't die on the same day. But the Gemara notes, but they were buried on the same day. Period. I mean, not period, but okay. Adkan divrei Gemara, and again, probably the most famous of Midrashim that we're going to be seeing over the course of today. It is an oddity, just one comment. It is an oddity that Maros HaMachpelah, the sale of Maros HaMachpelah, becomes such a central theme throughout Sefer Bereishis, meaning the original purchase of it, what comes through a sale. Yaakov ends up buying it from Esav, meaning that there's, I don't know how else to describe it, but there's something to be said about the sale of Maros HaMachpelah. It's gone through multiple sales. The Elo Esek by Yosef Achav lo have a maska. The Gemara says now, just kind of wondering out loud. Meaning, let's say Yosef didn't bury Yaakov. In other words, it wouldn't have been done elsewhere. I guess what the Gemara is asking is why is Yosef getting so much credit for something which the other brothers, of course, would have done. So Amru he nichalok kvodu b'mlachim Yosef mebehed yoto. So the Gemara says that it was a concession made by the brothers. Kavod ha-mace, meaning we have a general idea that you honor the mace as much as you can. And there's more cover for the mace if the burial was done by Yosef, who at that point was the second in command. He was a prince, he was a king. So more kavod would be extended to the mace if done by Yosef. So the Gemara says that's the lesson we can learn from there.
They wouldn't have let the other brothers do it anyway in Mitzrayim. That's why Yosef was the only one.
Right, true. I think the Gemara just wants to highlight and accentuate this idea of Kavod HaMeis. Okay, Milanu Gadol MiYosef. We move ahead. Tana Rabbanan Barei Kama Chavivas Mitzvos Al Moshe Rabbeinu. Now we turn to Moshe taking care of Yosef's body. Okay, Yosef dies early on in the Jewish people stay in Mitzrayim. Again, they were there for a total of 210 years. Yosef dies, I cannot tell you exactly which year it was in the Shibud, but it was early. Because Yosef only makes it to 110 years. In fact, we're going to talk about that later this morning, in terms of how he died so young. To us, it's not, but back then it was. But he only made it to 110 years, and ultimately Moshe was the one who's going to take responsibility and care of taking Atzmos Yosef, the bones of Yosef, which I'm just ballparking, was at least 150 years old when Moshe took them. Again, I'm throwing out numbers. But then Moshe then, for the duration of, while being in the being in the Midbar, Moshe took care of the Atmos Yosef. They were together with Moshe. We already spoke about that back in Masechta Nazir. And then handed them off to Yoshua, and eventually they were buried. And the Gemara later on is going to point out, we know that they were buried in Shechem. Why specifically Shechem? We'll talk more about that later this morning. Tanu Rabbanan Barei Kama Chavivas Mitzvos Al Moshe Rabbeinu Shekol Yitzhar Kulon Nisasku Bebiza. Everybody at Yitzias Mitzrayim was interested in money because the Egyptians were giving it away. And by the way, it was promised. Meaning, at Brisbane and Abisarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Avraham, you're going to be slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And meanwhile, you're going to come out, Baruch Hush Gadol, you're coming out with a lot of money. So it was a good thing. Meaning, it was part of the promise that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made to Avraham. But meanwhile, V'hu Nisasek B'mitzvos. But Moshe, on the other hand, was interested in doing mitzvos. She'nemar Chacham Lev.
Why do you use the word Biza? Biza means that they are forcibly...
Biza spoils of war. So it's almost like a melchama. So v'hu nisazik b'mitzvos she'nemar chacham lev yikach mitzvos. But Moshe realized what was more valuable than the money was the mitzvos, the taking care of Yosef. And so the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Mishlei, you're a chacham. So what are you running after? You're running after mitzvos. Uminayin haya yodeh Moshe Rabbeinu hechon Yosef kavur. So how did Moshe know where Yosef was buried? Yosef was buried again. I'm just suggesting about 150 years beforehand. So Amr Serach Bas Asher, Nishtaira Me'osa Ador. So the Gemara says that at that point in time there was a survivor, meaning someone who has made it from who knew Yaakov, who was a granddaughter of Yaakov, and she was still living at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Halach Moshe Etzla. So Moshe goes to her. Amalah Kloma At Yodas Echon Yosef Kavur. And do you know where Yosef was buried? Amalei Aron Shel Mateches Asulam Mitzrayim. Metal casket was made by the Egyptians. V'kavuhu Benilus Hanahar. And so when Yosef died, they, I'm guessing, embalmed, put in the metal casket, and put the metal casket in the Nile River for a purpose. Kedeshis Baruch Hu Meimav. Because they assumed that Yosef, who brought about an economic boom for Egypt, so they put the casket in the Nile. So basically, so bracha. There would be more bracha in the Nile. Halach Moshe v'amnas sfas nilos. So Moshe goes to the edge of the Nile. Amala Yosef, Yosef igia eish nishbak hashbaruch hu sh'ani gaol eschem. This is the time he speaks now to Yosef, the remains of Yosef. And he says, that's it. I was promised, Akash Baruch Hu promised that we're going to leave Egypt. Now's the time. So, v'higia ashvur, shishbat Yisrael, imatam arif zemachamutav. So, Moshe basically It's hard negotiation. Moshe says to Yosef, if you want to reveal yourself now, that's fine. But if you're not going to reveal yourself now, if I simply can't find the Aron, so then I'm free. Miyad Saf Aron Shel Yosef. And so the Aron of Yosef floats to the top of the Nile. Now, if it bothers you, metal floating. So the Gemara says, okay, it should bother you, but the Gemara says, but I have a response. Gemara describes regarding Elisha, where somebody dropped the edge of an axe into the water. It was made of metal. And so they're trying to dredge up the metal that fell into the water. And so what Elisha did is he cut a piece of wood, threw it into the water, and the metal rose to the top. Okay, I'm not providing any type of scientific explanation as I don't need to right now. But okay, so in other words, it's precedented in Tanakh that you find metal floating. Now, we're talking about Elisha doing this. Elisha was a student of Eliyahu. Eliyahu was a student, maybe not direct student, but a student of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, the Gemara's point is very simple. In terms of Nevuah, Moshe was the best. And meanwhile, Saf Brazal Mipanav. And meanwhile, Elisha was able to cause metal to flow. Mimnei Moshe Rabbeinu Alachas Kama V'Kama. So, if Elisha can cause metal to flow, so Kavachomer, Benosha Ben Kavachomer, Moshe could do so as well. Rabbi Nassan Omer, we're going to have now basically the same story repeated with some of the details being a little bit different. Rabbi Nassan Omer, B'Kabernet Shel Malachim Haya. Okay, cabinet. Okay, again, I don't know if that's correct, but in other words, he was in some sort of tomb. Halach Moshe v'amal al kabernet shel malachim. Amar Yosef higia eish nishbak Hashem Baruch Hu shanigol aschem higia shvua shishbat Yisrael. Im atam aratz mechamot aveim lavarin emanukum shvua sech. So again, now the story is the same, but instead of going to the Nile, so he's going to the tomb. He doesn't know which tomb it was that Yosef was buried. So once again, he's demanding. Okay, we're leaving now. You got to present yourself. But Osa Shan is Dazay Aaron Shal Yosef. At that moment, the coffin of Aaron starts shaking. Not Lemoshe Veviyo Slow. So Moshe takes it and he brings it to him. V'chol Osa Shanim Shal Yisrael BeMidbar Hayushne Aaronos Halalu Echad Shomeis VeEchad Shoshchina. And at this point in time, throughout the travel of the Midbar, there were two Aaronos that were always accompanying the Jewish people. One Aaron that had Yosef's bones, and the second Aaron that had the Shechina, otherwise known as the Luchos. Mm-hmm. And people, as we traveled through the desert, so people would say, strange. Why two Aaronos? Amru Echad Shomeis VeEchad Shoshchina. So our explanation is very simple. One Aaron belongs to Yosef, who's been long dead, and the other one belongs to the Shechina. And so to the second question, or frequently asked questions, is that normal? That the one Aaron is going to belong to the Shechina and the other one belongs to the Mason? Do they go side by side? Amru, and their response was, Kiyem Zeh, Koma Shekasa Bezeh, top of your Gimel and base. This one followed everything that was written in this one. You take a look at the top Rashi over here on the Amud. So I didn't look up the Mechilton side. I'm interested. If time allows today, I'm going to look up the Mechilton side. It's a beautiful Rashi. The Rashi writes over here that if you follow Yosef's life, you will find that pasuk by pasuk, you can make a match between the Aseres HaDibros and Yosef's life. And so, Oh, they do it over here? They summarize it over there? Okay, good. So, Agad Zuma Fereshes B'Mechilta. Look at the top Rashi. He says, you look at the Mechilta B'Parshas Vayi B'Shalach Paro. Okay, so you open up a Mechilta and you see, K'siv Vazeh Anochi V'ksiv b'zeh atachas elokim anochi. Right, the Anochi Hashem, Dibra number one. Right, Hatachas Elokim no Anochi. That's what Yosef says to the brothers when you know when they make amends. Ksiv Bazel Lo Yelacha, the second Dibra, not to have other gods. Ksiv Bazel Elokim Ani. I'm sorry, Elokim Ani Yarei, and so forth and so on. And basically, the Aseres Adibros is going to be a perfect match for the life of Yosef, and again, a fulfillment of what we just saw together in the Gemara. Kiim Bazel, Mashikasa Bazel. Okay. Again, the Gemara asks the same question that we asked previously. Now, if Moshe wouldn't take care of it, really, no other Jew would have taken care of it. And by the way, over here, on the Gemara's question over here, it's not like the Gemara asked previously, because previously we were talking about the children of Yaakov, meaning somebody would have taken care of it. Here, they literally didn't know where Yosef was, meaning Moshe had to go find Yosef. And a miracle had to happen in order for Moshe to find Yosef. So the question over here doesn't seem to be as strong as and when asked previously. Okay, but still, the Gemara is assuming that somebody would have taken care of it. So v'haksiv es asmos Yosef asher halo b'nei Yisroel mitzrayim kavru b'shchem v'su. And the Gemara says, and furthermore, ilo yaske be Yisroel banav lo hava maske be. And the Gemara says, okay. And if you want to argue that the Jewish people in total may not have taken care of it, Yosef had children. Menashe, Ephraim, grandchildren. So and great grandchildren. In other words, you don't think the family would have taken care of it? Yosef had children. Amru hinichlo kvoda b'merubin Yosef b'me'utim. So the cover that was done by the many exceeds that by the few. So the Jewish people in mass basically said, let's defer to Moshe. And v'su, and furthermore, Amru inichlo kvoda b'gdol miyosu mi'biktanim. And the Gemara says, and furthermore, again, a point that we reiterated earlier this morning, and that is, let the Gadol Hador take care of it. There's more covenant hames. The Gadol Hador wants to take care of it. Moshe wants to take care of it. There's more covenant hames if Moshe takes care of it. So the Gemara says, once again, that's another compelling argument why Moshe took care of it. Kavru b'shchem. They buried Yosef in Shechem. So Maishna b'shchem, the Gemara says, why? Why did they choose Shechem as the burial spot for Yosef? Am Rabbi Chana b'Rabbi Chanina mishchem ganavu u'l'shchem nachzir avedaso. He was stolen in Shechem. Let's return it to Shechem. Now, to be a little bit precise, by the way, if you look at the psukim by Yosef, in terms of where he was stolen, it wasn't exactly Shechem. Meaning he was originally sent to Shechem, but you remember the brothers weren't there in Shechem. There was an Ish over there, which Rashi identifies as being a Malach, and the Malach redirects Yosef. So, just to be technical, it's not precise that he was actually taken in Shechem, but it was in Shechem where he was originally sent. Okay, Kashu cry Ahadad Iksiv Aikach Moshe Asmos Yosef Imo Uksiv Es Asmos Yosef Asher Halu B'nei Yisrael. So on one hand it describes how Moshe took Asmos Yosef. On the another pasuk it describes how the Jewish people did. Am Rabbi Chama Rabbi Chena Kolos the Davar Velo Gamru Uba Achir VeGamru Maala Lavakasev Al Shigamru Keilu Asahu. This Gemara over here, a very strong Gemara and a very powerful lesson about incomplete work. Okay, the as a teacher, you get this all the time, right? Incomplete work, the Gemara says that's no good. In fact, incomplete work, you don't get credit. In fact, the one who completes the work, so they're the ones who end up getting credit. Rabbi Lazar Omer Af Marid Noso Migdulaso. Rabbi Lazar goes one step further. If you hand in incomplete work, in other words, you don't finish the mitzvah, not only do you not get credit, but whatever position you're on, you get demoted. And the Gemara gives a very powerful example of this, and that's by Yehuda. Yehuda goes down. Right, Vayered Yehuda. Now, literally, the pasuk is just talking about how he travels. But the Gemara's understanding is that he gets a demotion. Yehuda was a leader, and what did he do? He kind of saved Yosef, not really. Meaning, he did save Yosef from death, but he didn't bring Yosef back to the father. And so, it was incomplete work. It was an incomplete mitzvah. So, not only did he not get credit, but Yerida, he gets demotion. Rabbi Shmuel ben Nachman Amar Af Kover Ishto Vanav. Okay, come on. It's strong. The Gemara says not only that, but you lose your wife, you lose your children. Yehuda's wife dies. Yehuda's children die. So again, the idea that you start a mitzvah, Gemor, you have to complete it. Am Rav Yehuda Amar Rav Mimnei Manikra Yosef Atzmas Bechayev Mimnei Shlomich Bechvod Aviv. Well, Yosef already was referred to as bones while he was alive. The Gemara says it's a result of the fact that he was not careful with the covenant of his fathers. De Karmelei Avdecha Avinu, meaning when the brothers spoke to Yosef, they said Avdecha Avinu, right? Our father, your servant. So Velo Amar Lehu Velo Midi. And at that point in time, Yosef didn't protest. Meaning, okay, another. In the context, you understand, at least I understand, meaning he didn't want to reveal who he was, so he didn't, obviously, he didn't disagree, but in other words, okay, that's in context. But out of context, he allowed his father to be referred to as his servant. Yosef died earlier than the brothers. He died, as I mentioned earlier this morning, he died at 110 years of age, earlier than any of the other brothers, and at that point in history, prematurely, meaning that was considered an early death. So the Gemara says that it's because he was a Rav, he was a leader. And leadership really kills you. I mentioned this many times. Look at the before after pictures of presidents, right? It is striking how they look before they take the presidency and how they look, you know, 4 or 8 years later into the presidency. It ages you. And okay, the stress, the anxiety, it's understandable. The Gemara says that's an explanation of Yosef's early demise. We'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with more Agadata, God willing. Tomorrow we finish the first parak.